What's going on, Reality Daily listeners? This is Jeremy here. We are talking all things Survivor 46, seventh episode of Survivor 46. That was the name of the title going back to the very first episode of the season, where Jelensky is talking about several, meaning seven. And Wyatt, you're back this week. It took us several weeks to finally get a good episode of Survivor 46.
Yeah, best episode of the season by far. But like I said, it's just been kind of a tough season. It's been a kind of a slow slog, but I'm hoping this will kind of, get the wheels turning. Although I still hate the two tribe in the merge format.
Yeah, like at this point, honestly, they could have just had a swap. Like they could have just had a swap last week, because what we saw in the one-day tribes that were formed, it was basically the same groups as the challenge, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, it's like, ask yourself, like, what is the worst type of season that can happen in Survivor? And that is like a pagonging, where it's just like tribe lines, there's no interdivision, intertribal lines, where people are flipping on their people they started the game with, yada, yada. And we kind of saw that with 45, and I kind of think a big reason for that is because you do the two tribes at the beginning of the merge as opposed to in the middle. If you're going to do it, at least do it at, say, like, 8 or 10 or something like that, because at least give these people time to bond. Half of these people don't have any trust in each other because, yeah, they did a vote last round, but half of them weren't even on the block. So it's like, do you really have trust in anybody? So you spring this on them, this like fake merge, and then you do a double tribe right after that. You are forcing these tribes to stay together for the most part. Now, Nami is so broken to the point that they weren't, able to stick together. But I think more times than not, you are going to see the tribal line stay here, and you will get what you consider to be the chalk pick, where it's like, what tribe's the minority? Let's vote somebody out from there.
Yeah, I would say that we are in a position to where this is just kind of how the new era is, and we kind of need to take it. But now that we have the one-day tribes were an interesting dynamic, but now that we are beyond that and it's one tribe for the rest of the season, I really do think that we are in look for an exciting end game, or the mid game and end game that we're about to encounter. And I do think that this episode kind of was a good transition to get to that point, because the dynamics are pretty unique, I would say, and there's a lot of different directions in which it can go based on this episode. So do you want to just get right into it, go to this immunity challenge and go forward? Because there wasn't a whole lot before the immunity challenge, although when we get back to camp, Venus is going to go on this like rampage, who the hell voted for me? She didn't say it in that way, but she thinks Soda voted for her, and she's going to be surprised when Charlie tells her, no, that was not the case. Like, I was the one that voted for you. What did you think of Venus's bad read, number one, and then Charlie kind of, just saying what happened? And then Q kind of was not happy that Charlie did that. So what was your thoughts on that whole scene?
Yeah, she probably shouldn't have went on a rampage about it, although I love it from a character perspective. In kind of the new era, we see a lot of game body type behavior. So I do like when somebody's having an authentic reaction, because everybody's pissed when they see their name written down. But I guess she probably should have realized that whoever voted for her probably was still in on the Mariah vote. It's not like they were completely swindled, and it was probably just to prevent, Mariah playing a shot in the dark or playing an idol or something like that. And that wouldn't necessarily mean that it has to be Soda. It could be just as equally Q as it could be Soda, or it could be just as equally Charlie as it turns out to be. So definitely she shouldn't have done it, but I'm glad that she did, because it just gives us a little bit of diversity in terms of the characters that we see.
Yeah, I think that it was I'm tired of there being so much honesty in this Survivor game. Like, I feel like tonight, like the votes that were, the main votes for tonight were the first time where we really saw like some distrust within people, and I'm ready to like get back to that. Like, I understand, like, you do need to show trust to people, and you do need to, because you never know what's going to happen next. But you know, I just like, that's not like, I don't think that's good entertaining Survivor. Like, I just, you know, but again, like, Charlie's out there. He's not looking to make good TV necessarily. Before he's trying to win $1 million. And I know if I was out there, my goal would be to win $1 million before making good TV. Because $1 million, Wyatt, it's a lot of money.
It is. But I also think that they are casting people that are not necessarily as prone to care about the money as much as the experience. And I think that's kind of a negative, because you do have situations like this where you do kind of miss out on people that are actually trying to win because they have, you know, professions or soon to be professions that are going to make them, you know, a decent amount of wealth. I just really, as a, I think that Charlie revealing himself as the person that did the vote is probably the minority of what people would do. But it's like, if I have to give some credence to Venus for being upset, I have to give some credence to Charlie for exposing the vote, even though I don't think it was good for his game at all.
Mm-hmm. And look, I mean, it did maybe win him some trust with Venus in this episode, and it turned out to be important.
You know, trust would have been there, though. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if she still thought it was Soda, like, if he didn't say anything, like, to our knowledge, nobody knew that Charlie voted for Venus other than Charlie. I mean, I'm sure Maria did or something like that, but it didn't seem like that was, like, a known thing. So if it's not a known thing, then, like, she still would have been thinking it was Soda, probably to this day, until the episode aired, and unless he told her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. So, basically, let's go to the immunity challenge. There wasn't a whole lot. I mean, there was some stuff, but with Ben and Kenzie, but that plays more of a role later on. So let's go to this immunity challenge. They're divided into two groups of six. I think it's orange and purple, but the orange group is Ben, Hunter, Kenzie, Q, Tiffany, and Tim. Or was that the purple group? Does it matter?
Yeah, I just put tribe one, tribe two.
Yeah, okay, so Tribe 1 was Ben, Hunter, Kenzie, Q, Tiffany, and Tim, and then Tribe 2 was Charlie, Liz, Maria, Tevin, Soda, and Venus. So you have all the Yannis are together again. You have Hunter, who's the only Nami in that first tribe, with Ben and Tim also there. And, yeah, I think that is an interesting dynamic, because what we saw last week was it was basically the group that was that won that mergatory challenge, and Tiffany was there, but except for that, Tevin went to the other team and was with all of his Namis, Liz, Soda, Venus, with Charlie and Maria as a two. So, you know, definitely not unanimous votes probably for either group that we're going to see. Yeah, going into this group with and then the challenge is like pretty low key, like, because the water is very calm, and I don't know why, like, it must have been too late for them to like figure it out. Like, but you think they could have, like, altered the challenge at some point when they realized, like, how calm the water was that day?
No, I mean, they did what they could do, you know what I mean? Just kind of do the intervals and get to the top. I mean, personally, I'd rather have this type of challenge than, like, what they said in 42, where it was, like, it was so rocky that it ended in 3 minutes, right? So, I like, if you're going to do an endurance challenge, especially with such high stakes as this, I mean, not only are you dealing with immunity, you're dealing with, you know, who's not going to be on the jury, you're dealing with reward. I would prefer it to kind of last as long as possible, and that's what this type of situation called for, with the water being as calm as it was.
Yeah, it's been, yeah, so it kind of made for this, like, oh, let's pass the time and let's do that. But I don't know, what did you think of that, like, incorporation of the episode? Did you need that? Like, because that took some time away from, like, something else that could have been in the episode.
I guess I enjoyed it for what it was. You know, I do kind of like when the challenges have a little bit of, I don't want to say humor, but definitely a lot of like intrigue in terms of a little bit of personality of some of the contestants. Because like I said, we're really getting a lot of GameBot casting over the new era. And anytime that we can kind of peel back some layers and get some personality, whether that's in confessionals, in camp, or in immunity challenge, I'm always for.
Yeah, it did show some personality, and I appreciate that. But now with like the 90-minute episodes, with the 90-minute episodes happening, you do think like, oh, would this have been included in a 60-minute episode? And I don't think that would have been. But it was not like I enjoy these scenes, but I didn't necessarily feel like it was needed for this one, especially with a huge vote for the end of the episode. But I also felt like we didn't really miss a whole lot in the votes. I mean, there maybe could have been a little bit more clarity for some of the votes, but I digress, you know. So we're going to get through the challenge. Kenzie's going to win for her tribe one, and she falls off first. So they're going to go to tribal first, and the person that gets voted out is not going to make the jury. That's something we saw last season with Sifu getting voted out at this point, and then Caleb getting voted out in the second tribal council, but he makes the jury. What do you think about this, that, you know, one person makes the jury here and the other person doesn't? I didn't like it last season. I don't think you did either, if I remember correctly.
No, it's such horseshit. It's like, okay, congratulations, you're able to balance. It's like, listen, like, if you are like a heavier set person, you're unlikely to be able to win that immunity. So that means that your fate in, you know, being pre-jury or not is going to be based upon not only a random tribe draw, but also you know, who on that tribe draw can like stay balanced. Like, it's just frustrating to me. I don't like it. That's another reason why I think that if they were going to do this, I do think doing it like, you know, at a lower number is better. Just because, you know, you already have the people on the jury if they're going to make it. I personally think that they should, like, just do a double tribal pre-merge if they wanted to, like, get two people out in the same episode. But, yeah, it's frustrating to me. And I can only imagine if I'm somebody like Tim or like Sifu that you'd probably be pretty annoyed. But I guess I spin that back to you, Jeremy. If you were on the show and you barely missed the jury by, like, you know, this type of like situation, does that even bother you? Or is it one of these things where it's like, hey, if I'm out of the game, I'm out of the game. I don't really care.
I mean, don't you get a stipend though for being on the jury?
I think that you get a stipend based on your position in the game. I don't believe there's like a jury stipend like there is for like Big Brother.
But you appear in the episode.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, to me, I probably wouldn't care about that personally as if I'm out of the game. And although I would prefer to vote for the winner, I don't necessarily know if I would really care that much. If it's like, okay, I can go on all of these excursions that the pre-jury go on for the next like 10 days or so, or I can like vote for the winner. I kind of think that's almost a fair trade-off if you're out for the $1 million already.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like they either should both make the jury or both not make the jury. Like, if you have a 7-person jury with final three, like it's what it is. But or if you have a 9-person jury, like we've seen 7-person juries, we've seen 8-person juries, we've seen 9-person juries, we've even seen 10-person juries.
Yeah, so, make it 10. It's like Mariah got to play with everybody on that tribe. Like, even though that obviously half of the people weren't even vulnerable, it's like she at least has an idea of how somebody like a hunter played the game. How a Kenzie play, like, she at least has an idea of that. And to me, it's like, if you're going to cut somebody off, you shouldn't be cutting people off that are like playing with, you know, you should be cutting people off like Jim that didn't get to play with like 2/3 of the cast, right?
Right. I do think that there is, I like the fact that they are changing the idea of, I do like the fact that they are changing the amount of people on juries per season. Like, when you have like in 44 and 43, I think they had 8 people on the jury, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, they had 8 people on the jury. And so this year, I guess they have also 8, but then there was but like the merge was at 12 people. So like it gives you that, like it forces you to, I guess, change the way you play. Because I'm sure these people coming in on 46, they just watched 44. They probably are thinking, okay, after Mariah goes home, like everyone's made the jury. Like we have, you know, 9 people on the jury. That's, you know, what it is. I think Gabler's season had 8 people on the jury. But either way, like it throws a little randomness into all of in the game. And I do think that that is important, and it does keep the players on their toes a little bit. That is something that I think is something they should try to continue to do. I just don't like this particular way that they're doing that. But let's get into this vote. We'll talk this first vote first, get through all of that, and then go into the second vote. So this first tribe, Ben and Tim from Sega, Hunter from Nami, and you have your 3 Yanus. So this can go in a number of different ways, right? We obviously have this secret 6-person alliance that's been talked about. And, you know, in this group, Tim, Q, and Hunter, the 3 people that went on the journey, are doing that. So so they're in this group. Tiffany's in this group. So that gives them a majority of 4. So Kenzie's immune. So it makes for Ben to be like a pretty obvious boot here. And you know, Tim is going to fight against that because Tim has, you know, Tim is kind of half like dipped his toe in the water, but Q and Hunter, they are fully in the water because out of the 3 tribes, like Sega is really the only tribe that is solid with each other completely. Like we see that a little bit with Yanu, but there's only so few of them that it really doesn't matter. But that's why Q is so in on this plus 1 6-person alliance. And same with Hunter. Like he's never been able, like this was his first vote of the game tonight. So he has not been able to vote for anybody or, you know, like create those trusts. And he mentioned that at Tribal Council about how like he hadn't made those bonds with anyone in the game of true trust. And so that's why he's not as, you know, loyal to the Nami tribe, because that's just who he was given. Like he hasn't been able to prove any trust with them at any point in the game so far. So Hunter is like willing to play with anybody. Q's willing to play with anybody, but Tim has reservations, and rightfully so. But this was Tim should have read the room, but he was willing to put his game on the line for Ben in a sense. Would you agree with that?
I mean, I guess I think he probably didn't realize that he was actually in danger by doing that. I think that Tim felt like that he was running kind of the show. And I felt like he felt like, OK, well, worst case scenario, you know, I'll have to like bend the knee to go for Ben. Because it didn't seem like they said, hey, we're voting for Ben and you can like not or do it. Like, I feel like if he really knew that his game was potentially in jeopardy, like he was the secondary vote and it wasn't Hunter from that group, that, you know, maybe he would have threw Ben under the bus a little bit. I don't know. Yeah. I just kind of see him as somebody that is looking to be, you know, to have some self-preservation, despite the fact that he, like, alludes to kind of being a leader when he gets booted out. But, man, what a shame this is that we saw Kenzie immune here. Because I really think that as fun as this tribal was and how I think it was up in the air, I think it's even more so up in the air if Kenzie isn't the person that's immune. Because you would see a situation where, like, even if it wasn't Ben that got immune, you would say, hey, like, Kenzie is not in the 6. Nami, you got 3. Would you, you know, be somebody that would be after Kenzie? You know, he seems like in the past where he didn't necessarily trust her. So would he feel that way? If so, like, I'm sure Tiffany's not going to necessarily enjoy that as well. I just think that would have been a little bit more interesting of an episode if we did see Kenzie as the person here that was not immune.
Right, yeah, I think, and that's part of what made it a very unique dynamic between the 6 of them. You know, Hunter's play here, I think he makes the right play. You know, he's going to be loyal to the people he's been loyal to. He's going to fight for the Yanu's votes, and he's going to get them here. I feel like his gameplay in this episode was pretty straightforward. He did mention, like, a shot in the dark or potentially like, or not playing a shot in the dark is Idle. But I don't think he was ever playing that. I think he's built enough trust with Q to where he felt pretty comfortable. But yeah, Tim does bring up a good point here when trying to target Hunter, because in Tim's eyes, he's thinking, okay, after this vote, we're going to be at 10. If Nami has the numbers on the other tribe and they're going to vote out Charlie, like having a Sega go here would make things really bad, because then you're going to the final 10 with half of the tribe being Nami. And I think that's what he was trying to avoid. And maybe he wasn't pushing that point enough to get to that point. So
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, like, everybody, even though Q's upset by Tim trying to, like, play all sides, everybody's doing that, right? Like, Q probably would prefer to take Ben out over Kinsey if it came down to it, because, you know, at least Kinsey is a number for him, at least for the time being, right? So everybody is trying to get multiple assets. If Tim gives up Ben here, which he should have done, but if he gives up Ben here, he is almost tied to this six-person alliance, and he's banking on that. Because where else do you go? I mean, yeah, you have Charlie and you have Maria, but are three people going to be able to really make the majority at 10? Now, maybe you can, like, take Figa and put him with Yanu and go against Nami, but with Nami so broken, that's unlikely to happen. You know, you basically, like, your hand was going to kind of be somewhat dealt to you, and although you were still going to be somewhat flexible, you really were going to be tied in at least for a couple of votes on how that was going to position yourself. So it's one of these things where, if you do want to take that risk and really take out somebody like Hunter, you are going to open up the doors for your possibilities long term, and it's just really up to you. But like I said, I just don't think Tim had any, like, power here as much as he thought he did. And he really should have just listened to
him. Yeah, do you think that Tim would have been more willing to give up Ben had he known that Charlie was very safe on that other tribe?
Probably. And I also think that he was probably somewhat worried about Maria's position, too. Even though she has immunity, you know, she's kind of in the same position as him, where if one of the Seegas, let alone two, go home, now Maria's also kind of confined to a box at that point with her. And I think because Tim labeled her as his number one, being part of the six, I think that does kind of worry him as well. He wants to give Maria as much flexible options as well, because they're, like, in the parent alliance, things like this.
Right. Yeah. I think that, you know, but I also think that Tim and Ben, you know, had this, like, very tight, like, I really do think Ben was Tim's number one out there the whole way through. Well, actually, it's a lie, because if that were the case, he would have brought in Ben into that plus one alliance. And had Ben been the addition into that alliance, and they would have had to go to tribal, I think things would have been very interesting. But he wasn't. So, yeah, I think Ben was probably Tim's number two out there. And Tim was probably Ben's number one. So I think that's what, like that's probably what pushed Tim to, like, not want to vote Ben out. But Q is going to also play a big role in this vote, Wyatt. You know, he's the one that kind of gets the ball rolling on Tim, when Tim kind of, you know, acts hesitant to vote out Ben, who is the obvious vote here. But then he's going to talk to Ben, and then he's going to change his vote. He's going to change his mind. And when he's talking to Q and Tiffany, and both Q and Tiffany are going to have confessionals about this and really, like, be like, Q is paranoid, Q is crazy. And we've seen this from Q, you know, in the past, where, you know, he played a fake idol, you know, to make sure that Jess wouldn't play her shot in the dark. And this is, like, you can tell Q is a very new Survivor fan, because I've never seen someone obsess over the shot in the dark as much as he does.
Especially when you consider at this point in time, because they haven't seen 45, it's never been played successfully. You know, it was played successfully in 45, but they didn't get to see it. So imagine if he got to see 45 and how crazy he would have been. So definitely. But I love Q as a casting choice. Like, outside of Venus, I think he's my favorite, because he kind of has, like, a little bit of the Andrew Savage vibe to him in terms of, like, trying to be the leader and trying to be dominant. But I also think that he has, like, a level of authenticity when he's talking and coaching and things like this, but he also has a level of deception when he's like getting frustrated with somebody like Charlie for telling the truth, or when he's, you know, making fake idols. So he has like a lot of like multifaceted, and then he has another facet where he's like taking his ball and go home when he's acting like, you know, he wants to quit, even though, and then he says, oh no, I was just doing that for game. And then he says tonight that he like threw the immunity challenge, which I don't fucking buy for a second, Jeremy. So I just think that he has like so many components to him that makes him so unique.
Yeah, I didn't buy that either. You know, whether or not he didn't, whether or not people bought it or not, I do think like he's almost there. Like he has like 9 of 10 tools to be a good Survivor player. It's just there's something missing there with Q, and this is it. You know, he doesn't realize that his paranoia is, you know, kind of, you know, getting in the way of his alliance with Q and or Tiffany and Kinsey. And I think that, you know, I do think that Q is being set up here for a big blindside here in the next like 2 or 3 weeks. I just think that he is like, people are eventually going to like not want to play with him in the end game. Because as an end game player, I feel like Q is incredibly incredibly dangerous, number one. Like if they get like a real physical immunity challenge at 5 or 6, like Q's not necessarily the player I want to be alongside, and then to count on for a vote is even worse. So you know, he's the one stirring the pot for sure the most. But what we're going to see here is Kinsey, you know, kind of steer this vote into the direction that she wants it to go in. And I'm gonna be honest, Wyatt, and I know there's some online Discord, I don't necessarily think this is a huge hot take, but Kinsey's winner edit is incredibly apparent in this episode. I think Kinsey's win would be great for the season, considering where she has been to now. We saw a lot of, you know, high character moments for her, a lot of, you know, people excited for her. We saw Q give her props at Tribal Council. That wasn't necessary to show in the edit. It wasn't necessary for Q to do that. So she's clearly well-liked. You know, we've seen the mermaid dragon, you know, things. And, you know, Kinsey was, I want to talk about Kinsey for a bit. And that, and this is like kind of why I wanted to like, you know, stretch this episode a little bit. But what do you think about a potential Kinsey winner edit after this episode?
I could not disagree more. I really don't think that here's what I'll say. I'll even go further. I think she's more likely to get booted next week than she is to be the winner of the season.
Really?
Just because from when we look at the position of the game, I still think that she's kind of in trouble, right? She's not in the six. You know, Yanu's in the bottom, yada, yada, yada. But even if we look at the edit, like the things that you're pointing out are true. But I think in terms of like Ben's panic attack, I mean, you say that for Kinsey, but like, that's, to me, I see that as more of like a Ben moment. And also, they kind of had to show it because it comes up at Tribal. If they just showed it and it never came up again in any way, shape, or form, it makes sense. But like, because Ben is going to be safe when he shouldn't have been, based on logic, in terms of like, he's not in the six, right? He's a Sega, yada, yada, yada. He shouldn't have been safe. So when you're showing that, you have to show why. And it's like, okay, well, Kinsey's actually friends with him. She's going to vouch for him. You know, Kinsey actually wants to, you know, show that she's human, but that's more of like a Ben thing as well. We're showing more than just like him throwing out Metallica songs. So I think it's more towards Ben winner edit than it is Kinsey winner edit, if you're looking at it from a winner perspective. But like I said, I still think that Kinsey is kind of dominant. I can even see this kind of turning into a little bit of like a Noelle situation, where like in Survivor 43, you know, she wins that immunity challenge after her leg pops off or whatever during the net challenge, and she wins and everybody's like, oh my goodness, what a great story, we got to get her out. I do think that now when you look at people like I don't necessarily know if anybody on that tribe would say that, maybe Hunter, but then when this gets back to the other people, I could see them being like, hey, like she's going to be a real jury threat if she gets to the end. So I just think if we're looking at it from the position of the game and we look at it from the editing, I do think there's a little bit more discourse that she could just be a target that they're setting up for the next couple episodes.
Here's what I think about Kinsey. I think the Tim boot benefits her game more than anybody else's, at least within this group of six. We talked about how Q wanted to vote Ben last minute, but then obviously that got changed to Tim. We saw with Tiffany, Tiffany had mentioned in a confessional that she felt that Ben was a bigger threat as well. So this move, like, so Tiffany wants Ben out, Hugh wants Ben out, but ultimately Tim is the one to go. And I do think that Kenzie behind the scenes played a big role in that. And I also think that she wanted to keep Ben. Like, I do think that was part of like the reasoning behind the vote. And so not only that, like, Kenzie gets to basically now Ben is going to be like, Ben has very few allies, and who is Ben going to work with? Probably Kenzie. And, you know, Kenzie also, we see, you know, Q, like, between the three of them, it's always been, you know, androgynous or in, like, fluid is in terms of which person is the third person in that three. And it's been Kenzie throughout most of the season, at least through these last three or four episodes. But tonight we really saw a Kenzie Tiffany moment where it seemed like they were the two that were in the power position and Q was the odd man out. So I think Kenzie's positioning in the game truly improved tonight. And I think that, you know, her ability, and, you know, we also saw like that scene with Banu at the journey with Ben and Liz. And when he basically said, oh, Kenzie's this master manipulator kind of thing. You know, I really don't think Ben feels that way about Kenzie anymore. So she's kind of erased that, you know, deficit that she had from that moment. And I do think that Kenzie's positioning in the game has, her stock has improved tremendously from the merge until now. All right, Wyatt, let's move on to this, to the second tribe here, with Charlie and Maria, and then the four Namis, Liz, Soda, Tevin, and Venus. Maria's immune. So again, an obvious boot here, Sega member, Charlie appears to be the boot. But as we know, Nami has been infighting with amongst each other for a few episodes now. And this is like finally the opportunity for them to really go after each other here. So Charlie's going to think that he's the boot to begin with, but we're going to learn here that is very clearly not the case.
Yeah. You know, what you see here is Charlie being understandably nervous in a way that, you know, Tim, Ben, and Hunter should have been, but they didn't seem to be that way, or at least Ben and Tim. You know, Charlie knows that if this tribe does stay together, that he's going to be cooked. So I love how open he is about knowing that he is potentially in danger. But at the same time, it almost comes as like a surprise to him that how big the cracks in Nami actually are when he compares them to Oceans.
Yeah, I think Oceans and Continents is how far these players are. And we're going to see like almost this like King of the Hill edit here in terms of not the sitcom, but in terms of just, you know, oh, this person's going to be the target, and then the target's going to target a new person, and then the new person's going to target that person. Feels like almost a Russian nesting doll at that point. But yeah, so Charlie's going to be the target, but then it's going to turn to, I believe it was then Venus. You know, people were talking, okay, Venus, and Soda was pushing for Venus. Well, then Tevin's like, no, I want it to be Soda. And then Venus is going to be like, no, I want it to be Tevin. So really, we have everyone but Liz at some point has their name in somebody else's mouth. And then it's going to put Charlie and Maria in somewhat of a swing vote position here, very uniquely apted way. But let's kind of go into first, like, the idea to vote out Venus. Like, do you think that it was in Nami's best interest to vote for Venus in this episode? Or was it to stick together for one more round and vote for Charlie?
So I definitely think that it was in Tevin's best interest. You know, we see in the last episode that, you know, she's already talking about a men's alliance. And that's something that she's potentially, you know, looking at doing, or taking out the men and keeping the women strong. So if you're Tevin, I think that you have to do that. I think if you're Soda, I mean, she's accusing you of doing the vote, I think that you probably do need to cut sail on that, because it's going to be hard to repair. Where with Charlie, she did seem to feel pretty open to him. And then I think with Liz, that's kind of where it's a little bit open.
Yeah, you know, Liz, we haven't really seen a whole lot of her in the game, but I'm gonna be honest, Wyatt, I think Liz is actually playing a very good game. And it's been, you know, very hidden in the edit. And I don't think that she's playing a winning game, but I do think that she's playing a game that's worthy enough of being in the last five or six. I think she's playing really well. No one is targeting her. She didn't bring her bag to Tribal Council. And the fact that she said that and it was like validated and it was like very fair of her to do that, I was like, what a baller move from Liz.
Well, the thing is like, we conflate these two things sometimes in terms of what the jury will, you know, interpret. Like, I kind of look at it the same way as you, where it's like, if nobody's throwing out Liz's name, then she must be doing something well. But it does seem that we are in the era of Survivor specifically, where it's like, hey, this person isn't a threat. So, like, not only are we not going to vote them out, but they have no shot to win. So now we're going to drag this person along. And I think that Liz, you know, probably could come on strong and maybe change some perception. But the way I look at it, especially if we get into editing discussion and stuff, it's hard for me to imagine her playing a winning game. I really see her as like zero vote finalist as of right now.
Yeah, I could see that as well. You know, because she has mentioned that, you know, she does have the money. Maybe that doesn't make her a very valuable person to, like, you know, give the money to. But I digress. I did want to mention Liz at some point because I do want to give her some props for playing the game that she is, and give her some credit that the edit may not be giving her. But that being said, I do think that that is value. But yeah, let's move on here to Venus, because obviously, like, she is going to, the way I like to see it, Wyatt, is we saw it in the last episode where she kind of tried to engineer this Charlie vote that just never worked. But now Venus is trying to go for Tevin. And I think that with Venus, like, she's on Venus and everyone else on her.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of how it seems to be.
But also, like, I just feel like Venus, like, she's not willing to, like, she wants people to work with her before she's willing to work with others. But at the same time, like, that's kind of the game that Venus has been forced to play in a way.
I love Venus as a character. One flaw in her gameplay, though, is that she, the way that she talks to people about the vote, and we saw this even with Maria, she's talking to them like they're on the bottom, and she's the one that is, like, making, you know, a risk and working with them, when in reality, she is on the bottom. And listen, I understand that not everybody wants to kiss ass, not everybody wants to eat, you know, crumbs and everything. You want to take control of your own destiny. I totally get that, but it's going to come off to people, I think, in a way that is a little worrisome, because it's like, if this person is willing and dealing like this with no issues in the world, then maybe this person is a little bit more well-connected than I think. Maybe this person is willing to cut somebody. And I do think a lot of the criticism that we're seeing from Venus, from some of the players, even Maria this episode, where she was like, I think she referred to her as like cunning and like manipulative and like distrustworthy and some other synonyms like that. But it's like, there's nothing that actually would prove that, right? All this is your assumption. But I think it's the assumptions based on how she is presenting herself to these other other tribes. And I do think there's maybe a little bit of, like, undertones of, like, sexism in there as well. But I think for the most part, I think it's the way that she's approaching the situation that is probably not the best. It's great for TV, but it's maybe not the best for her actually able to, like, get her way.
Right. Yeah, I think that Venus is just, like, she's very excited. She's very excitable, and she's very, like, I want to make big moves. Venus was on Survivor at the wrong time. Like, I feel like the 30s and the big move era, she would have fit really well in a season like that, where people are more willing to take shots at, you know, bigger targets. Like, the last two rounds, she's targeted Charlie, Tevin. She's talked about wanting Hunter out in the pre-merge. Like, she wants to target strong, powerful men. And it wouldn't surprise me if Q is the next name on that list, to be honest with you. He's probably the only man that she hasn't, you know, wanted to get out at any point, or at least she said that. And I guess Ben as well. But, you know, but the thing is that the players that are around her are a little bit more conservative in their gameplay, and they aren't on the same level as her. And so part of playing Survivor is matching the energy of the players around you. And if you're giving too much energy, that is that can cost you. And that's kind of why Soda gets voted out here, because, you know, her, like, because we talked about it in the pre-merge, you know, there was that scene of her, you know, Soda gotta go to with Tevin from, I think, like, the Banu boot episode, where they talk, like, you know, Soda's just a big talker, and, you know, Tevin feels threatened by that and doesn't want to play with someone like that. So that kind of comes back into play here in a little bit. And that's probably, like, what ultimately gets Soda to go home. But that being said, this vote is not what it looks like on the surface, right? It's 4 votes for Soda and 2 for Venus. Tevin is going to vote for Venus as well with Soda. But we see at the end, you know, Soda's going to have this, like, big exit, like, ah, you got me, like, and, you know, Venus and Soda are going to have, like, a, oh, good play, like, I love you, like, all that, which, how genuine do you think that really was, Wyatt? Like, I
mean, it could be, but I also feel like it's one of these things where it's like, imagine you get voted out and you're like, hey, Jeremy, awesome game move, I'm voting for you to win. It's like, it's kind of a backhanded compliment, right? Because, like, even though I'm saying that I want you to win, I'm also vocalizing that to the other people in the game, right? So I do wonder if this was maybe Soda's way of being like, hey, I actually want Venus to go home and join me. So, like, I want people to think that she's a threat. So she doesn't, like, you know, skate under the radar. So I am interested in that. But I will say this, is like, I really like Soda's exit. I'm not a big fan of people, like, you know, hugging and, like, you know, being, you know, so, I guess, happy about getting voted out. But I love the fact that she cried. And I love the fact that Tim cried, because, you know, from knowing me for so long, that I've always said that if I get voted out of a game like Survivor, I'm either cussing people out or I'm crying. It's one or the other. And I just love that there is some emotion that's not just, like, completely like, oh, good job, guy. I remember it was like Drea was, like, clapping and things like that when she got voted out. It's like, you vote me out $1 million. I am not clapping.
Yeah, I'm not either. But yeah, I just think that was a very interesting exit, because we've seen, like, Venus, you know, like, talk smack about Soda for, you know, in confessionals, and, you know, it just was a little confusing to me, I guess I could say. But, you know, Tevin is gonna, like, kind of whisper under his breath, you know, when Soda's, like, giving Venus, like, props for voting her out, that he's not gonna vote, like, he's like, no, like, you have it all wrong. How much did Tevin know about this vote, and was this Venus vote more than what it was?
Yeah, I think the Venus vote was to prevent a shot in the dark or a idol or some other type of advantage. I think that's all it was. I think it was just one to kind of, like, you know, prepare for the worst in case that was going to be the situation, because he'd still rather have Venus go home than, like, himself or Liz or Charlie or something like that in this situation. So I think that Tevin was probably the person that spearheaded this. I think it probably was, you know, Tevin getting to Maria because of the alliance, Charlie being on board with that because it wasn't him, and Venus is, like, completely by herself. You know, Liz is on board because Tevin talked to her earlier. And the only person you have to bring in is Venus. And Venus is obviously going to be willing to do anything that's not her, especially if it is one of the Nami. So, easy peasy. But I really think that this was Tevin's doing more than anything here. And, I mean, at the end of the day, it is going to be Maria and Charlie's decision. But I think he's the one that really brought that to the forefront.
Yeah. Do you think that this is the right move for Tevin here? Because I don't believe so.
I don't think so either. I mean, the thing about Venus is, you know, Venus is going to be after you in some way, shape, or form, because she feels ostracized. And that's the way that you should think about that clearly. And even though you may think that Soda is kind of a threat or somebody that you don't know if she's actually loyal to you or not. Listen, this game has so many more hurdles to go for that you could use somebody like Soda to your advantage, right? Like, get this game into Nami's hands, or more importantly, get it into Tevin's hands. You know, make sure that Tevin and whoever he wants to align with, whether that's Hunter, Siga, Yanu, whoever it is, make sure you're in control before you take out Soda. I just feel like at this point in time, you can't be confident that you have the game where you want it, and then that's when you win it. You want to take out the people that you can't read. But I do wonder, and I think that we might have seen this. I think that Maria and Tevin really believe in the six-person alliance, and I think they're probably going to be really shocked when they see Tim not there. But I think that's what they're banking on.
I think that is going to change some things. But I also think that, like, Tevin voting for Soda now, or Tevin agreeing to vote Soda out and being along with the plan, it will earn him some trust with Maria, and it will earn him some trust with the rest of that plus one alliance, because they would see Soda as, oh, she's a NAMI number, you know, we got to cut them. Similar to how Tim, like, they would have expected him to cut Ben at some point, but Tim was unwilling to do that, and look where it got him. Tevin being willing to vote Soda out now puts him in a position to where he doesn't have to do that later on. And, you know, maybe the order, Venus, Soda, Soda, Venus, like, I don't necessarily know if it matters all that much. But the fact that he was willing to do Soda, it puts more of a target on Venus in a way later down the line, and it takes less of a target off of him, which I think is important.
I do want to talk about the decision from Charlie and Maria to make this move, because I really think the best move for them would have been to see if you can potentially get Liz out. You know, are any of these people willing to sway Liz? Because you have essentially a triangle of hate at this point, right? Tevin wants Soda, Soda wants Venus, Venus wants Tevin. It's like, why wouldn't you take out the person that everybody seems to be okay with, or at least not targeting? So that's what I would look at, and I'd probably look at somebody like a Venus and say, hey, what about Liz? You know, would you be willing to do Liz, and then maybe go from that? Because I just think that, like, if you continue to have these NAMI people fight, then you, whether that's you being Sega, you being the Six, you being whatever, your guys are going to be more in control, because those people are still going to go after each other. And then you can kind of decide what side you want, where now you might have created some type of, you know, short-term alliance with Venus and Tevin at this point, because they are voting together. I mean, at least maybe Venus isn't aware that Tevin was actually wanting Soda out. I don't know. But you might have created some type of situation there. You might have already strengthened a bond between Liz and Tevin, or Liz and Venus. So I do wonder, like, if you're playing the long game here, wouldn't you want to keep that distinction between the NAMI people?
Yeah, but at the end of the day, if that's what you're going for, like, you know, because eventually, like, you do need NAMI to work through the game, or at least, like, in some way, shape, or form.
I mean, just us looking at the game, not looking at the edit, not looking at anything, just looking at the way the game is functioned, doesn't it seem like Liz is probably going to be the most likely person to make it to the end? Maybe not win, but make it to the end. And it's like, okay, that's one spot that you know, can't vie for. So it's like, take out that person.
Are you going to target that person at 11? Or are you going to target that person? Like, I feel like most of those people, like, in the Liz slot in the game, usually become a target around the 8 to 6 mark. Like, you know, people that also fit this bill, you know, Kendra. Ken, like, from 45, Jamie from 44, you know, people that aren't considered to be a huge threat to win the game, but they are considered to be, you know, a threat to take a spot in the final three. And
yeah, I mean, you're right in terms of, like, it usually is later on in the game that people use this strategy. But I think the reason why you do it here, and the reason why this is kind of a special situation, is because you literally have this tribe that cannot work together. And it's like, if you're worried about numbers and you're worried about, like, because from what it seems to me is, like, Maria obviously has some loyalty to Tim, has some loyalty to Charlie. I don't think that she's gunning for Ben anytime soon. So she really cares about the people that are on her OG tribe. What you have a chance to really cripple the other tribe here in terms of NAMI, and make it sure where, like, all three of these people that are targeting each other, and it will get out. Like, if you take out Liz, it will get out that Venus wanted Tevin. It will get out that Tevin wanted Soda. It will get out that Soda was going to go with the, well, I guess what people would have assumed, and take out Venus. It will get out there. They will have to rely on you and Yanu. So you can decide at that point in time, do you want to align with one of them and take out whoever, or do you want to just work with Yanu and go to the end? I just think that even though you're taking out a non-threat here in Liz, you set yourself up to be able to make the quote-unquote big moves and the big decisions.
You take out the blue. You take out the blue. Liz is a blue for Nami because, you know, Liz is working somewhat with Hunter, working somewhat with Kevin, working somewhat with Venus, or at least is connected to them in some way, shape, or form. We saw that last season with Kelly as, like, the one Bello person that was keeping her tribe together. And once she was gone, Bello was, you know, targeting each other. So there is some merit to that. But that's a very advanced play that I just don't like. Not that these group of players aren't capable of pulling off, but I do think that Liz is just so like. But also another thing with Liz too, and I think that's something that is worth noting is the fact that she is she hasn't been eating as much as the rest of the players, and that is like in challenges moving forward. That is someone I'd rather go against than, you know, someone else. So, yes, like, I could, like, Liz will become a threat at some point to, you know, take one of those last couple spots in the game. But if I'm this vote, I'm not looking at Liz. Like, I'm not. If I'm Charlie or Maria, I'm not looking at Liz. Venus has no reason to get rid of Liz at this point. And that's the thing is Charlie and Maria, if they really wanted to go for Liz in this episode, they needed Venus. And Venus is... proven that she doesn't want to target Liz. Liz is probably the last person you want to target. You know, she's trying to go for the big, strong men, and Liz is, you know, the weakest woman at this point in terms of just, you know, size and what she's eating in the game. So I would say that, you know, Liz is going to become a threat, but and there was reason to get her out at this round, but it was just not in the cards, I think. But look, I think this game could go in a lot of different directions, and I feel like this week really shifted the game for me. But I'll be honest, Wyatt, I really think that this game is going to come down to the big duos for each tribe. We've seen Hunter and Tevin as a pair, the Andy Griffith alliance from, you know, episode one that's lasted until now. We've seen Charlie and Maria also as a huge pair in the game. And it appears that Tiffany and Kenzie are going to be that Yanu pair. I really think whichever pair can get the furthest is going to win the game. I think one of those six are going to win the game. But what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm ranking like the most likely winners, I'd probably have Charlie and Ben 1 and 2. And then I probably started getting into some of the other tribes.
Ben's not in that group that I just mentioned. So
I disagree. I just think that I would probably go Charlie 1, but I think then I would go Ben. And then I'm still not even sure that Kenzie is in the 2 with Tiffany. Like, I still think, I thought that was the case maybe pre-merge. I do think that like Q is a meat shield for Tiffany. And I do wonder if she'll like, consider that. Also, like, Kenzie knows that she has the idol, which I guess Q does as well. I'm just interested to know where that's going to go, and I do hope that we get that at some point. I do hope that Tiffany it turns on one of these people at one point, because I am, you know, a little bit irritated that I don't really know where her actual allegiance is to or was during the pre-merge, but I'm very interested in that. I really think that I'd probably go, if I'm ranking potential winners, I'd go Charlie, Ben, Tiffany, and then I'd probably go into Hunter or whatever. I'd actually have Maria quite low, because I really think that, like, we just didn't see her perspective on Jim. We still don't know why she decided to take out Jim, and I feel like this episode was really more so Charlie and Charlie's decision than it was her, and I just think that if I'm looking at it from the perspective of editing, I have a hard time thinking that Maria is going to be able to win this, despite the fact that she should, in all intents and purposes, you know, at least be in contention based on, you know, doing well in challenges, being in the mix, being in the kind of the power position. But we're just not seeing enough from her.
Yeah, I think it could still go in a number of different directions, and we'll see as it goes on. To me, I think Kenzie's winner edit was a massive part. It definitely took some shape in this episode, if it were to be true. But I do see what you're saying. Like, I do think that any of these potential winners could also be flame outs in the next 2 or 3 weeks. These next 2 or 3 weeks are probably going to shape the game and determine who is going to be a winner. But I do think that it's going to come down to duos. Like, I really do think, and you know, how willing are these duos going to be to cut their allies outside of that? You know, are Charlie and Maria going to cut Ben at some point? Are Kenzie and Tiffany going to cut Q at some point? Are Q and Tiffany going to cut Kenzie at some point? Are Hunter and Tevin going to cut Liz at some point? We know they'll probably cut Venus, you know, pretty soon. But how willing would they be to cut Liz? And that's kind of why I think Tevin is probably the likeliest winner at this point, just because we see that he's probably the most integrated with the other tribes than anybody. I would say Kenzie's also there, but I just feel like Tevin is in more of the middle than anybody at this point. So Tevin probably would be my number one in terms of a winner choice. Charlie maybe number two, and I would go with Kenzie number three. I just think Kenzie has had a really good episode the last week or two, and she's moving forward. But any last thoughts before we sign off?
Yeah, I guess the only thing I would say is to remind, I guess, you and anybody else who thinks that maybe Tevin can win, it's like Tevin is a great narrator. And he's somebody that, you know, they put in the beginning of the season talking about, you know, what Survivor is. And he has that clip that they show during the preview for after the end of 45, where it's like a damn buff. And I just think that, like, I assumed that he was going to be like America's sweetheart. Like, I really thought he was going to be liked. And I don't think he's came across that way to not only myself, but casuals and super fans. I think that there are, and I think that's because maybe he's against Venus, who kind of is, you know, America and Canada's darling at this point. I just don't necessarily see Tevin as a winner, because I think that we would see a lot more of a glowing edit for him in the same way that we did see somebody who was also just as energetic as he is in Yam Yam. I think that we saw, you know, Jam Jam have a lot more personality in those confessionals and things like that. But I think he almost comes across a little bit as a villain. That's why I have a hard time seeing him as the winner, just when we're getting into the editing perspective of it.
Yeah, and I guess we'll see. You know, there's still plenty of Survivor left. We're halfway through the season officially, so we still have a lot of Survivor left to watch. And now that the game feels like it's kind of taking shape and we're kind of getting somewhere, we could be in for a much stronger end of the season, second half of the season. So we'll be continuing the podcast that every week for the next several weeks. The finale comes on May 22nd, so I believe that is set 6 weeks from now. So we'll be back each and every week through that to talk Survivor 46. And be sure to like, comment, subscribe to not miss a single one of our other episodes. We're covering The Amazing Race 36. We are covering The Challenge 46. I think we're covering some other shows as well. The Circle Season 6 starts next week. All these end sixes, 666. But oof. don't let the devil come in if you subscribe to Reality Daily. So we got you covered for all things Reality TV here. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode, and we'll catch y'all on the next episode. Take it easy.